Many of the splashiest advances in biomedical technology in this past year have centered around genetics, gene editing, gene therapy, gene testing, all made news in this biomedical capital of the world. WBUR health and science reporter Kerry Goldberg is here to walk us through. Hi, Kerry.
Good morning, Bob.
So where do you want to start?
So let's start at the end of last year when a Chinese researcher caused a whole hullabaloo when he claimed that he'd engineered the world's first babies whose genes had been edited with CRISPR.
CRISPR, of course, being the revolutionary new method for editing genes that's been sweeping the world of life sciences for several years now.
Yes, CRISPR is such a powerful tool that it made the idea of designer babies whose genes had been edited much more plausible. Now, I have to say, I never thought anyone would do it anytime soon because there are unknown risks. I mean, how would you feel if you designed a baby and something went wrong? But there are reportedly now Chinese twin baby girls whose genes were CRISPR'd to make them resistant to HIV. And by the way, the AP recently reported that to this day, nothing is known about the health of those babies. The researcher hasn't been seen for months, and the work has still not been published.
So mystery remains in that regard. But the very claim of editing these babies, as I recall, caused lots of worldwide consternation.
It did. And here at the Broad Institute in Cambridge, scientists spoke out in favor of a worldwide moratorium on CRISPRing babies, and they called for a global body to address these issues. Here's founding director Eric Lander in March.
Do we want a world where countries are doing really adventurous modification of the human genome to, make astronauts who can resist radiation and go into space or have, you know, other kinds of biological properties? I worry that we haven't thought through any of that right now.
Kerry, there have been no more reports of engineered babies since then, right?
There have not. What we did see was CRISPR just beginning to come into clinical testing for human diseases, attempts to apply it in everything from cancer to sickle cell disease. Now, this isn't gene editing that would be passed down to future generations, Bob. It's just being used medically to treat patients with genetic diseases. Here's a prominent scientist, Fyodor Ernov, from the Altiest Institute for Biomedical Sciences in Seattle, talking to NPR in April.
2019 is the year when the training wheels come off and the world gets to see what CRISPR can really do for the world in the most positive sense.
And there is a growing list of diseases where CRISPR is now being tried in gene therapy. That's where you try to correct a gene that causes disease using various methods, including now CRISPR. So that's being tried in genetic eye disease, in a blood disease called beta thalassemia, and sickle cell disease.
And it's considered a big avenue for biopharma companies developing treatments.
It is. And among the local biotech companies getting into it are Vertex and Editas Medicine and CRISPR Therapeutics. And, you know, so gene therapy in general, beyond CRISPR, is very much on the rise and also raising a lot of concerns about how much it will cost. A gene therapy drug from Novartis that treats a rare disease called spinal muscular atrophy, it's a terrible disease that kills babies, broke the record for drug prices this year. It's a one-time treatment. It costs over $2 million.
And of course, that raises concerns because there are more of these gene-based drugs potentially coming down the pike.
Many more. The methods for both research and drug development have been advancing at a rapid pace, too. So if 4 or 5 years ago, CRISPR itself was becoming a household word, and, you know, it's often referred to as CRISPR-Cas9, because Cas9 is the enzyme that actually does the cutting of the DNA. Well, more recently, researchers like David Liu from Harvard and the Broad Institute have been developing new tools related to CRISPR called base editing and prime editing. Here's how he described it on Radio Boston.
So you can think of the original CRISPR-Cas9 as scissors. People have likened base editors to pencils. And you can liken prime editors to word processors capable of searching DNA sequences and precisely replacing them.
So it's like a whole DNA editing desk set?
Right. You got your scissors, your pencil, and your word processor. The point being that as the tools improve, so does the potential of gene editing to lead to treatments for many more diseases. Liu says they could now include progeria, that's the premature aging disease, and Tay-Sachs disease, a fatal degenerative disease diagnosed in babies.
Apart from treating diseases, what are the year bring in DNA testing?
Well, DNA testing just keeps getting cheaper and faster and better. One thing I'd highlight is the rise of polygenic risk scores. That's a simple score that you can get for, say, your risk of heart disease that's generated from a very complex set of data. A splashy study in May computed a person's risk of obesity by looking at a couple of million of gene variants. Here's geneticist Sek Katharasan.
This work hopefully will destigmatize obesity and make it very similar to every other disease, which is a combination of both lifestyle and genetics.
Now, there's some controversy around how useful those risk scores are at this point. What's clear, Bob, is that genetic testing is becoming more of a routine part of medical care. So, for example, this year, a national panel recommended that all people with Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry get tested for BRCA mutations linked to cancer.
And in addition to that, there's all this, shall we call it, recreational genetic testing that's becoming increasingly popular, sites like Ancestry.com and 23andMe.
Yeah. Here's a mind-blowing number. According to MIT Technology Review, as of earlier this year, more than 26 million consumers had gotten their DNA tested by commercial companies like those.
Wow, and that number is only going to grow.
Definitely.
Health and science reporter Carrie Goldberg is the editor of WBUR's Common Health. Nice to have you in.
Thank you for having me.